Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
Welcome back. It's bowl time, everybody. We've got bowls going on this week. I mean, some are good, some are bad. We're about 50-50, at least on the ones that I've watched. I think the ESPN tie to college football and broadcasting is the main reason why we're never going to get a solid bracket from the committee. I know that Dano has some thoughts on that as well. But bottom line is, hey, we're short staff. It's like you would think it's getting close to Christmas and everybody's like out and about. But you got me, Rob, your host out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. Got Dano Ikebase out of Coastal Connecticut. Joe may or may not be on. He said he was going to try and make it. So we will see what happens. But welcome back, Trash Talkers, to the College Football Roundtable. Or if you prefer, you can call it Ring Knocker Radio. Not a whole lot of ground to cover this week, unless you like hardcore watching bowl games. But Dano, how are we doing?
Good, man. So today is my 23rd wedding anniversary. My wife and I went out to Mystic, Connecticut yesterday. We stayed overnight, you know, had a really nice dinner, did some really cool stuff. But I had to sort of take a break from college football and just from all of this after Army Navy. I mean, I'm not complaining because it was an awesome weekend, as you know, but we worked our asses off out there. Solid number of like very long days. So, you know, I finally checked back in yesterday for the Miami Texas A&M game. And then I watched mostly games yesterday, but I did miss the Bama Oklahoma game. So honestly, didn't even realize it was on. Again, go figure. It's Christmas, crazy at my house. Like stuff is just going on.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, I dipped into the bowl games as well. Some of them are good. Like, it's just weird because like you see 6-6 teams are playing much, much better in the bowl games than like the guys that were 9-3. Like the ODU game was pretty good. I thought that one was enjoyable, but for the most part, you know, it's hit or miss. And I think it's tied to, we've got to make some adjustments to the playoff as well as to the bowl season, because if we don't, like, the bowl games are not going to be interesting. There's too many opt-outs. There's too many little pitfalls that are creating issues with college football. But speaking of issues, we have somebody that will help you get through your issues when you move to your next home, and that is Jocelyn Bradley. So if you're listening to this show before, you know that we have a sponsor here. Her name is Jocelyn Bradley. If you're PCSing to the Fort Liberty or Fort Bragg area, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn is a military veteran who spent her career in Army logistics. She's also a graduate from the United States Military Academy, and she is committed to helping her clients find their dream homes when you're in the market. So she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. She also has an extended network of veteran realtors that can support you if you're moving anywhere else in the country. If you're moving or you're in the market for a home, Jocelyn should be your first call. She's decided to support us here at Ask for Football this season, and she will help you get into the home of your dreams. That said, Dano, like, I don't know if you checked out the transfer portal lately, but lots of chaos going down. And for me, it's tough to decide whether or not this is a good thing or a bad thing. And the reason why I say that is because when you look at the transfer portal, you know, if I'm a coach, do I want a guy that has switched teams? Because you're looking at dudes like Diego Pavia, who's trying to get a petition for a seventh year. And it's DJ Finley, the former quarterback from Georgia State, is trying to position the NC2A for an additional year. And then you got guys, you know, like, you know, Frank Harris, who played for like 17 seasons at UTSA. And then you have guys that are, you know, taking like a partial season, playing for a team, medical redshirting due to injury or whatever, and then transferring into another school. And like, I understand, like, hey, look, if it doesn't work out, you want to move. But I mean, when you're looking at the transfer portal, like, it's hot right now and these kids have not decided. So you've got five top shelf quarterbacks in the freaking transfer portal right now. So the first one is Brendan Sorsby from Cincinnati. That guy was great. Now he's in the portal, you know. Destination TBD, DJ Lagway from Florida, destination TBD, and this was as of yesterday. Dylan Raiola from Nebraska, you know, he's probably going to try and sneak his way into Texas Tech since he's trying to, you know, clone himself to be Patrick Mahomes Jr. Rocco Beck from Iowa State, right?
Ugh.
preseason freaking Heisman, you know, candidate, and then Josh Hoover from Penn State. They're all in the portal. But, you know, at some point, when is the madness going to stop? Because, you know, as a coach, am I still looking at football as college football as a business, or is it an opportunity for a kid to, you know, prep himself for the next move? What are your thoughts, Dano?
At this point, it's a business. I mean, if you're getting paid probably millions of dollars in the case of all five of these guys, like if I'm paying you, let's just say I'm paying you 200 grand. That's a pretty modest amount in the portal, especially for a quarterback. But let's just say you're making 200 grand. For 200 grand, your ass had better be in there and not worried about class, because you are a professional. That's a lot of money to make. You know, there's not a lot of ways to make 200 grand. It is unfortunate, though. You know, these guys have got to get it now, because as we talked about before, you know, decent number of these people have a very solid chance to wind up managing a Hertz rent-a-car. Yeah, and in all sincerity, kudos to Hertz for hiring a lot of former college athletes. Like, I do think that that's great, but this is their opportunity. They have to make the money now. It's I hate to also restrict some kids' freedom or whatever. Like, it's a free country and you theoretically should be allowed to do whatever you want to do, but I don't see how this is helping anybody. I don't see how it's helping these kids as football players to bounce around all over the place. Definitely isn't helping the college teams or the coaches or anybody. I mean, it's just insane every single year. And, you know, every team is basically renting half their roster at least every season. Like, how do you even bond with your team? How are you a fan of that?
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's, you know, I think it's similar to the NFL and the fact that, like, you know, free agency is a thing, right? But the population in the NFL is so small that if a guy switches teams, his ability to kind of follow those guys, your ability to follow or be a fan of someone is easier, because there's only 117, you know, there's not 117 teams in college football, right? So when you look at it from the perspective of player development, like, you see these guys, you know, they're sophomores or juniors at a university and have a great opportunity to go forward. And like what we have seen in the transfer portal, with very, very few exceptions, that dudes transfer and they have a better deal than where they left. You know, I can think of Will Howard last year, who transferred to Ohio State. That was, you know, he was one of like three players that Ohio State picked up. But guess what? Ohio State didn't pick up a lot of dudes in the transfer portal this year. You know what I mean? They did last year, or they didn't even do that. They spent most of their NIL money to hold on to their roster so guys wouldn't exit to go to the pros, right? But
that's why the American was so good this year, because a lot of those American teams really invested very heavily in trying to maintain some stability.
Yeah.
And this, you know, this next year is going to be chaos all over again, which is good, I guess, for Army, but bad generally.
Yeah, I just think it's crazy that we have gotten to the point where it's just so wide open, right? Mm-hmm. Where things are just crazy. You know, then looking at the top defender, so you had the, you know, top five guys, Chaz Coleman, who's the edge rusher from Penn State, Mateen Ibrioga from Wake Forest, he's a defensive lineman. Devin Tompkins is a defensive lineman, and Jabril Rawls from FSU. Boo Carter, a safety from Tennessee, and all these guys are like top ranked on the defense that are now in the portal. Again, destination TBD. So what do you do? You know, if you're a coach, like, yeah, I'm looking for the pieces and parts that will fit my team. But at the end of the day, it's like, how much of a learning curve am I signing myself up for? Because, like, what if this dude's just like a powder keg of discipline issues waiting to explode and you just don't know it, right?
I mean, I'm just going to go out and say that at least the quarterbacks, I would bet, you know, $100 that all five of those guys know where they're going.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. They're probably not going to say it. They're not going to announce it too much, because they're still trying to, you know, make as much money as they can at their previous spot, you know, and you look at what happened, and it came up when we were talking to, Brian Keith Jones
at
the Army Navy game, when he talked about like how, you know, Troy Aikman is pulling back.
Yeah. He's not doing it anymore.
Like, I'm not doing NIL anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's the worst blow. It's one thing to have your group of alumni that are going to throw a couple hundred bucks into your NIL pool, you know, that's okay. But when you have like graduates that are, you know, multimillionaires like Troy Aikman, like saying, hey, I'm done, Yeah. Like, that really hurts your brand. You know,
I mean, and what's in it for me is very real. If you're Troy Aikman, what's in it for you? Why am I giving you millions of dollars? Like, seriously, what's in it for me?
Well, and at the end of the day, you know, in most universities, and to my understanding, they're not really giving any perks for it. You're not getting season tickets. You don't get to meet the players. You don't get autographs. You don't get anything other than like, hey, you're investing. And, you know,
what's the rate of return on that investment?
Right. And that's really what it is. What's the ROI? So like if I'm dumping $10,000 in it and we win a national championship, okay, cool. Right. Then I guess that's okay. If you want to have bragging rights, you know, in the office pool, but like, but who am I spending this money on? You know, is it a tax write-off? I just don't know. And I know that, they had the SCORE Act, which came out, which was like, it's kind of weird because if you read it, it's like a loaded gun. It's the barbed hook, right? So the federal legislators, like, okay, that's the first part. Like, this is the first problem. Like, federal anything is probably going to be a shit show. Pardon my French. But, you know, we're trying to protect women's sports, right? Because we want to make sure that the non-revenue sports are protected. But in the process of the non-revenue sports, guess what? Now there's no, you know, federal worker protections, as in like consumer protections for the people that are playing. So there's no, you know, there's no union, there's no liability, there's nothing codified to help take care of these kids. So it's based off of the universities and their good conscience to take care of these players.
So the problem is the NCAA steady lost every court case as they were trying to figure out how to regulate this thing. So, you know, they lost it on antitrust. And if, you know, you're not negotiating with a union, you're not paying these players. I mean, those antitrust cases were pretty solid. That's why they kept losing.
Yeah.
I don't think it's because they couldn't find a lawyer.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's also something that something has to be done. And I don't know who's going to be the governing body. Do they start up another completely different organization of former players to take over this thing and kind of run it? You know, do we find like the Bill Parcells of college football and kind of put him in as the front office guy to manage all this crap? Because what's going to end up happening is players are going to keep getting paid. Like, we know that's going to happen, but you know, we don't want to see the change of college football just keep shifting based off of the amount of money that's flowing in or out based off of, you know, television conglomerates, et cetera. Other notables that are in the transfer portal, and these are kind of local here, but one of the coolest names in college football, Hollywood Smothers, the running back from NC State, he is in the portal, destination TBD. And for Army fans, this is a good one, I guess, question mark, unless he goes to like Tulane or something. But Caden Hauser is leaving from ECU, again, destination unknown. But
hard to be mad at Hauser. You know, he was a power four prospect. Yeah. I forget where he was, and you know, didn't play, goes to ECU. He gave them 2 years.
Yeah.
Took them a while to even realize he needed to start. I mean, whose fault is that?
Yeah. And I think, you know, and I think in his situation it's probably a move up, but
yeah, for sure.
More than likely you're not gonna see a lot of players. And I guess one of the other things that's kind of concerning that has come up in the last couple of years is scouts undervaluing players, right? So like they go to these group of five schools and then they play a couple of years, build their resume, and then they move, right? And I know that there's a TV show about what's his name? The quarterback from Miami last year that is now in the pros, but they're talking about zero stars. It's I think it's on Tubi. It's a Tubi.
Cam Ward.
Cam Ward, like, talk about how he wasn't recruited, wasn't highly touted, and he basically built his brand and became one of the top quarterbacks in college, let alone in the pros. And that's purely because of his work ethic and just being able to prove through his work that he's able to make it.
I like that. I'm here for work ethic, man. There's too many people trying to live off the fact that they happen to be tall. I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's weird. Well, let's get to the recap of the first round. Hey, man, like JMU at Oregon, you know, hard not to get I don't get emotional. It's playoff games. The reality of it is like I would have liked to see JMU play better. They finally put some points up they put points up in the second half after Oregon had pulled the starters. I mean, we're going to see this. I think we're going to see this over and over again. We're the second year, but here's the thing: of the first round games that were played, the only one worth watching was Miami and freaking Texas A&M.
calling that worth watching is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're, oof. Well, if you're
that was,
like,
that was borderline bad football.
Yeah. But if you're a defensive guy, like you like the way that they play defense, but like I called it, I put it in the text thread. I was like, look, freaking Reed's going to throw an interception trying to come back.
Yeah.
Sure enough, he did. Right. And that's because he's a young dude. He's very, very talented, but you know, don't put your, you know, two things is like, you never want to leave winning or losing a game on the shoulders of your young quarterback or the foot of your kicker. But what are your thoughts on the opening round, at least for, you know,
I mean, they put up decent stats. I think that that's good. Both the group of five teams put up decent offensive stats, but you know, they kind of got behind early and that was the tail of the game. JMU, it's a shame because like the whole game practically was garbage time. You know, yeah. That's very unfortunate.
Yeah, for sure. So. And then, yeah. And moving on to the Oklahoma, the Alabama game, like, look, the only thing that I will say is like Bama shouldn't even be in there, you know? I don't think it's fair to college football to continue to keep allowing these guys to come in, because guess what? Who are they playing next? They got I think they got Texas Tech. No, I'll pull it up. But either way,
Feinbaum would have had an aneurysm if he hadn't made it in.
Yeah. Well, and that's a part to me that just drives me crazy. It's one thing to advocate for a team, but it's another thing to be completely wholeheartedly in the tank for them, right? Bama's done. They got to play Indiana, right? Their offense
they're done.
Look, if you let Indiana get up on you by 17, you ain't coming back, right? We know that. And I
was annoyed, honestly, to see that Bama came back.
Yeah.
Come on.
Dude, but the reality of it was, is like that first quarter was so emotional. Like you could see it like Oklahoma was letting it all hang out. And then at some reason they just lost confidence. You know what I mean? They lost confidence in themselves and the game went sideways. But when you look at, I'm going to skip down to the Texas A&M and Miami game
Okay. I would like to talk about this Tulane game for a minute.
Okay.
Most interested in that game. First off, you know, American Conference, you know, out there representing. They gave up two touchdowns early, but then they settled in and they played pretty well. Very reminiscent of Army's game at ECU this season. Very reminiscent.
That's
right.
Fair. Yeah.
You know, you give up a couple of explosive plays and it's like, shit, now we're down 14. You know, the Green Wave, if you haven't watched a lot of Tulane football, which clearly a lot of people have not, they struggled to score touchdowns all season. And that is why they lost this game. You know, they move the ball. If you just look at the total stat lines, like they were pretty even with Ole Miss, but they couldn't finish drives. You know, their defense played well until they just, you know, kind of couldn't stay on the field after a while. The idea that they just got smoked and driven off the field, though, that's not correct.
Yeah. But the other part of it is I think they set him up for failure, right? Because again, the committee didn't have to line it up like that, right? And I think that's part of it. And this goes into a much deeper discussion, right? We're looking at college football broadly, and you know, we want group of five teams in the playoff. I think the fan bases want
you and I want that.
Yeah. I think the fan bases want, you know, but it's the same reason why, you know, Notre Dame won't make it in, right? Part of the reason why Notre Dame will not join a conference is simply this: $50 million a year from NBC Universal, right?
Yeah, they don't have to. Why join a conference? Yeah.
Yeah. They can remain to be independent for the next, you know, 2 years and some change and still make money. But the thing is, they have to run the table with their crap schedule. You know, like if you don't, like you lose the NIU, they gave you the benefit of the doubt last year and put you in the playoff and you got smoked. So now they're like, hey, we're not going to do that again. Right. I mean, like that's legitimately what happened. And if you're, you know, if you're a Notre Dame fan, sorry, join a conference. You're in the ACC for just about everything else, you know, join for football. And, you know, restructure that contract. I legitimately think because if you look at the teams that made it into the playoff, they have a heavy population of television time to include the American Conference. Like, why did Tulane get in there? Because there's an ESPN Plus contract with American. Like, when you look at the teams that made it in, like, whether you like it or you don't, broadcast TV conglomerations have something to do with your ability to, you know, put butts in seats and sell TV time.
That's true.
You know? So, Alabama and Oklahoma, I don't even want to talk about because that was just god-awful garbage game. And then Miami and Texas A&M. I think, you know, we're going to have to open up a support group for kickers after watching that game, because, like, those kickers got hosed. Like, that the wind was high and it was nasty. I think there was four kicks that were missed. So, yeah. Like, it could have gone either way. But I will say this, and my thoughts of Miami taking on Ohio State, like, dude, if you can score 10 points against Texas A&M, you're going to have a really tough time putting points on the board against Ohio State's defense. And, like, the only people that have been able to do it all season is in the number one seat, and that's Indiana, right? So it's going to be tough sledding for Miami. I think I think Carson Beck is, like, he's just a weird kind of player, right? Like, when he's on, he's on. He's brilliant. And as soon as he slips, it is bad.
That's normal. That's really normal, yeah, for high-level athletes.
Yeah.
I mean, that will not translate in the NFL, but that's really, really normal for high-level athletes in college.
Yeah.
I say that from experience. Trust me, that's a level of maturity that's very hard to reach.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But I think it's just one of those things that's freaking bonkers, man. But yeah.
All right. So can I talk about this game a little bit now?
Okay. Yes.
All right.
Feel free.
So
go for it.
In my mind, there's a subtle but a very real difference between watching a defensive slugfest and straight up bad football. And when Miami's kicker missed his third 40-something yard field goal, I started to feel like maybe we were watching more of the latter and less of the former. And, you know, in having to endure a 3-0 shit fest the same week in the college football playoff, no less, in the same week that freaking Joel Klatt and Nick Saban called for the end of the Army Navy game was, and we know it, and the permanent relegation of the Group of Five, like, that didn't sit well with me at all. Like, I was just not digging that in any way.
Yeah.
You know, tough week, honestly, for fans of national level football media. Like, I'm ready for Klatt to go farm in Siberia. Like, that dude spent a week spouting pure anti-competitive communism. Like, there is a work farm in Siberia for that dude. He can, yeah, just, like, enough. I'm done. I don't, you know, his show is okay, but I'm done. We're done. We're done with each other. It's fine.
Yeah.
If those guys get their way, and I'm pretty sure that they will, you know, college football is going to turn into lacrosse, where, you know, your reputation and your conference matter more than your record. And fans can realistically guess 75 to 80% of the teams who are going to make the tournament just from the way the national schedules get laid out, which is what these people seem to want. You know, they don't want the games to matter. They want the reputation to matter. And honestly, Rob, I hate everything about college football right now. It's why I really only watched, you know, this week's games, because I knew that you needed me to be on the show and talk about this. Yeah. But if we're relegating Army Navy and Megan, and so the Group of Five doesn't matter, like, I'm out. I'll just spend more time writing about Army football, work on my personal projects, and, like, somebody else can come on the show and do this, because I am not going to watch that shit. I'm not sticking around for, you know, the Communist Central Committee to start picking a winner winners and losers by conference. Like, pro wrestling is a thing. I do not need worked college football results too. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah it's odd, you know, and probably something to talk about on the, the Army football show as well. But, like, think of it this way, you know, like, I don't know if you saw the epic levels of trolling that Kirk Herbstreit took on the chin for saying, oh man, it sucks that we don't have any football on the ESPN networks, right?
Like,
that
guy who can eat my whole ass. What a
like
dick.
Like, he should have caveated that as, like, hey, I don't have any games that I'm covering this season, right? Like, Army Navy game was the most watched football contest of the year with, like, 7.8 million people. Guess what? That's real ad revenue. So yeah. Joel Klatt can suck it, right? Like, look, yeah. Like, you could take probably most of his shows for the year and compare them to Army Navy. Guess what? Nobody's watching the Joel Klatt Army Navy preview show. Nobody watched that. Everybody watches the game. And so, from the perspective of, you know, like, look, far be it for me to agree with anything with the freaking Squids, but, you know, it was a good game and it was worth watching. So, you know, I think it's
tough because, like, I enjoyed meeting Scott Strassmeyer, but here's a guy I'd love to hate. Like, honestly, yeah. Like, yeah. Nice guy in person, but I don't like. Scott, let's don't be friends, man. I mean, yeah. You know, honestly. Yeah.
Like, the reality of it is it's like, look, you know, the problem with college football now is the fact that it's not structured to create parity, right?
No.
Whereas the NFL is designed to do that. Every professional league, and that's the problem right now, and that's because these guys have been covering college for so long that they forgot that that's the hidden gem of the NFL, right? The NFL is designed for parity. Why? Because the lowest ranked team gets first dibs, right?
Yeah, for sure. And so right, exactly.
It's designed to bring everybody towards the middle. And when it's towards the middle, then you have more competitive teams, right? Like that's the whole point and the whole expectation. But because you have, you know, 136 FBS teams, how do I create parity?
I mean, there's already a certain level of parity in the fact that the transfer portal allows the number four linebacker at Alabama to go play at Tulane and have an outstanding season.
Yeah.
Right. And this is what we've seen. And, you know, that kid from ECU, that quarterback,
Kaden Hauser,
perfect example of a guy who went to a big school, wasn't getting whatever he thought he was going to get, goes to ECU, you know, has a couple of really good seasons. I don't think Kaden Hauser is a threat to go pro. Like, I really don't care if he makes it to the NFL, except in the sense that I don't wish ill for him and his family. But,
yeah,
you know, he has the opportunity to go someplace, make a difference for that team. And, you know, anyway, it's a shame that he won't be there another year, but he's got to be old. I mean, what is this, like, already his fifth year of college football?
Yeah, I think he's going into his fifth season. Yeah, yeah, but that's the thing, is it's like, hey, how do we allow that to happen? Because again, you know that there's always going to be teams that have good management are going to be successful. Like, look at the NFL. Teams that have good management always win. Teams that have bad management are always struggling. Like, hey, if you're a quarterback and you get drafted by the, you know, the Cleveland Browns, you got a 50-50 shot that you're going to make it through the whole season, right? And that's just the way that it is, and that's the way that the pro game is. But with college football, there are enough players where you could have parity. Or, I mean, if you want to, you know, if you want to shorten the season where make everything all conference games, and then you have a play-in bracket for, you know, the freaking, and I know that Coach Gruden said, like, hey, we'd have a pay-in for like the 11th, you know, so you have, you know, 12 and 13 play for the 12th spot, and then you have 13 and 14 play for the 12th spot or whatever it is.
Honestly, when they had four, if they just take the top four conference champions, we wouldn't even be having this discussion.
It's a wrap. Like,
we're done. It's easy. Too easy.
Well, the problem is they're trying to make that cash, right? Again,
yeah, of course.
It's ad revenue for every game.
That's what, right? Brian Keith Jones said.
Yeah.
You know, like, I said to him straight up, there's only three to four teams who have a chance to win the playoff and eight to nine hangers on. And he agreed with me, but he was like, but we have to have the money.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
It's all about revenue, you know? And again, like, it would be different if the revenue share was going to the players, but like, you're looking on average, right? You're looking between $750,000 and $1 million per game. So when you look at the 4 weeks of games that they're playing, like, it's $4 to $6 million a weekend that they're making.
Who's they in this case?
ESPN, the College Football Committee, like all, and then you get, and then, you know, it's almost insulting having to listen to these guys yammer on about their favorite teams when they clearly don't watch football, you know. Like, they clearly don't watch football. It's like Paul Feinbaum. Like, I seriously doubt that he has watched a full start to finish Alabama game all season. And if he has, I would be impressed. But I just don't get the feeling that those guys genuinely care other than, like, by reputation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you were watching the game, you were like, look, man, like, they lost three games. You know, the logic bomb makes sense. Like, hey, I can look at Marcus Freeman and say, hey, the reason why you didn't make the playoff is you're not in a conference. You lost head-to-head matchups to Texas A&M and Miami. That makes perfect sense, right? If you're being logical about it. But nothing about the playoff is logical, and nothing about college football is logical right now.
But, at least for everything.
Yeah. Moving on to the logical conclusion, at least, of the quarterfinals is, so we got the Orange Bowl coming up. Orange Bowl is Oregon versus Texas Tech. The Ducks are favored by 1.5. The over under is 52. What's your lean on that one, Dano? What do you think?
Texas Tech. I think all the home teams are going to win these games. Sorry, but yeah. I really.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at it, you know, I hear what you're saying, but if history proves anything, all the teams that got the byes lost last year, which is interesting.
Insane. That's crazy.
That's exactly what happened, though. So, like,
we'll, if you see. Listen, we shall see.
Yeah.
I'd be very surprised.
Yeah. I do not think that Bama is going to beat Indiana. Indiana is going to be well prepared. Like, Kirk Cignetti's on a mission. He's trying to clean it up. And, oh, by the way, add insult to injury, you beat your old team. right? Cignetti used to be a defensive coordinator there, so he wants to put it on him. Ole Miss and Georgia, like, we could have watched this game during the season. Like, I think Kirby's probably got their number even more so now that Lane Kiffin is gone. And then you've got the Cotton Bowl, which is Miami at Ohio State. See previous note, like, look, if you can only score 10 against Texas A&M, like, this might be the first time that you watch Ohio State hang 50 on somebody, and it's because Miami can't produce. Like, they can't get off the field.
So I wouldn't be shocked if Oregon beats Texas Tech, and Ole Miss at Georgia theoretically should be a – oh, Michael Speck says there's no home teams. Okay, fair enough. I wouldn't be surprised to see Ole Miss be competitive against Georgia, but Georgia – towards the end of the season, I thought Georgia hit another level. So, you know, I haven't really watched Texas Tech too much this year, but Georgia, I thought, was on another level by the end of the year.
Yeah, I will say the top four teams, the one thing about them is the defense, man. They're all four of those teams play great defense. And, you know, I think Texas Tech is going to create pressure. Like, their linebacking core at Texas Tech is amazing. Like, if I was a college coach, thank God those guys are graduating because I don't have to lose them to the transfer portal, right? I think Texas Tech has done – you know, Texas Tech has made some moves. Like, they made the move off season when they paid that the offensive lineman like $10,000, right? Or I'm sorry, $15 million. They paid him $15 million, and he had he hadn't even started. You know what I mean? Like, this kid's a brand new player, 18 years old, $15 million contract for 4 years. Like, hey, look, if you're throwing that kind of money around, like we've got you've got freaking the landman running things behind the scenes to bring in the cash.
Texas is Texas, dude. That, you know, they got that oil money.
Yeah,
may as well use it, right?
Yeah. And speaking of money, let's talk about a guy that can save you $1,300. Dana, over to you.
Yeah, man. Listen, this show is sponsored by Craig Oxane, the area sales manager for the Money Store. Craig is a mortgage broker. He also just re-upped with Astro Football. He's a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. One of the most successful VA lenders in the country. He's going to offer you super competitive rates, give you the best deal he possibly can. And guys, if you haven't bought a house, let me tell you, the mortgage process is super confusing. You know, you got interest rates bouncing all over the place. You're trying to decide, when do I want to lock in, and all this other craziness. You know, you're trying to get your house inspected. Is it going to appraise? All this stuff. And it's just not the time to deal with somebody who doesn't give a shit about you. You want to deal with a person that you can call on the phone, right? Not a call center, not some random big box bank, not a mindless website. And this is how the West Point Network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at Astro Football, and we're helping you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the very man that you need to meet. And guys, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans, which I feel like is important because we definitely, with Omar's help, picked up some Navy fans this week, which is good, right? That's actually good. Yeah. Craig will set up your mortgage and save you $1,300, Navy fans. So get that money. You know, Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending. Sorry. No, he's not. Area Sales Manager for the Money Store. Still a mortgage broker, same job, different job title. Check him out. His link's on our website. Go to Astro Football. He and Jocelyn and Greg also all have business cards on our website. You click on there, you'll be talking to them in, you know, a couple of hours, whatever. It's too easy. And I'm telling you, Greg and Jocelyn too offer just absolute five-star service. So, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Dano. Hey, so we're supposed to have Blue Falcon of the Week. Joe is not here, but he gave me his top runners for the Blue Falcon of the Week. Number one, unfortunately for him, being a Michigan fan, is Sherrone Moore. No need to talk about that. There's some deeply rooted shenanigans going on there. But the other person that's kind of in infamy right now that he and I talked about was Diego Pavia. And way to submarine your career, right? Like, you had a great run, kid. And then, you know, you didn't win what you thought you should have won, which is fine. Like, I think everybody feels like I was in the running for this. I should have won it. But then you go out and just start this terror campaign of acting like a complete and total jackass. And needless to say, I think he's settled himself into a place where not only is he not going to get an additional year of college football to play, you know, seeking extra eligibility. But I also think, like, if you know, you have turned yourself into the 2026 version of Shedeur Sanders, right? Like, hey, you're going to be nuclear until somebody decides that they're going to pick you up.
Yeah. Are you worth the trouble? Yes or no?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, straight up. And I don't want to talk to that kid. Like, I couldn't believe, like, the outrage. You know, I mean, I get it. like, dude, you were good, but you didn't make the playoff. You didn't win all your games. And like, when you look at Mendoza's background, like, just look at Mendoza's background. He led his team, which was number two, to beat the number one team in the country and has had a great season so far. Like, it makes perfect sense for him to be, you know, the Heisman Trophy winner.
He was a worthy Heisman Trophy winner. I will agree with that. I guess the only thing I would come back and say is you're going to win 0% of the games that you don't think you deserve to win.
Yeah. Just
full stop.
Yeah. So, yeah, 100%.
No, I have no issue with him thinking he should have won it, but dude.
Yeah, but it's one thing to think that you should have won something. It's another thing to act like a complete and total petulant child.
You can act like, you know, get drunk and act like a petulant child all you want. Just keep that shit off social media and you are fine. Yeah. Like, this is what I learned in the 1990s.
Yeah. Yeah. No photos, no video, you know, and you'll be all right. Speaking of, I'll do this last read. So if you
you're a hero.
So if you haven't, figured it out, we've picked up a new sponsor. It's for Warriors Physique Fitness. A cheap plug for my other podcast. If you haven't listened to Philosophy from the Frontline recently, we just did an interview with Greg, talk more of his army transition story and how he got into his business. But Greg's a friend of the show. There's a reason why you don't need another workout. You need a coach who's an expert in fitness and proven protocols, but more importantly, someone who survived the total physical and mental collapse of themselves and pulled themselves out of the fire, rebuilt themselves to make them even stronger. Greg Anicelli is a graduate from West Point, class of 1997. He's an Army veteran, a successful enterprise software sales executive, and a professional bodybuilder. And when I say professional bodybuilder, it's not that he's a meathead and works in the gym. He actually has a pro card that he
is the national champion.
Yes, he is.
He actually won the Natty, all you Alabama fans.
Yeah, he won the Natty. And oh, by the way, he didn't act like a petulant child when he did. So he's an NCI certified fitness coach and now the founder of Warriors Physique Fitness. After losing his marriage, his identity, his confidence, his physical and mental health, Greg completely rebuilt himself from rock bottom through faith, discipline, and elite level training. At 50 years old, he recently became the overall classic physique bodybuilding champion at the NPC Masters at the United States National Championship in Vegas. He earned his IFBB pro card, proving it's never too late to become the warrior that you were meant to be. Today, Greg's mission is to coach men who are struggling to stop drifting in decline and resurrect themselves physically, mentally, and spiritually with his online coaching program. If you're ready to reclaim your strength, your confidence, and your warrior ethos, identity, apply now to Warrior Physique Fitness and write your own comeback story. As a special note, Greg is offering active military veterans and first responders a 15% off discount of a 16-week transformation program fee, and AFF Firsty Club members or other West Point grads get a massive 30% discount on the same 16-week program. And that is a lot of words.
That's his first read on this particular show, though. Come on now.
Yeah.
You got it.
No, I know. But like Dano said, business card is going to be on the website. So just go click it, follow it. He's got an intake form. You fill that out, and then you'll be talking to Greg here shortly. And guess what, guys? Like, it's too easy. Guess what? We're getting close to the end of the year. If you're going to spend money on a membership, might as well go with somebody that you can trust and help coach you through the process, because there are a lot of, pay $10, get your black card at, you know, whatever gym.
And that's not what Greg's offering.
Yeah.
He has a real plan, and it requires real commitment.
Yeah.
He's
going to hold you accountable. And that's one of the hardest things about going, you know, being successful in a fitness journey is not just, it's not just doing the work and eating right or eating clean or whatever. It is having somebody to say, like, hey, look, like, you're missing this, you're on this, whatever. And so Greg will help you do that. Hey, we're at the end of the show. You got to hear Dano and I yammer on a little bit longer than we should. You got a good rant from Dano right before your holidays. But so we are going to wrap this thing up. We'll be back in about 20 minutes for those of you guys that are going to listen to the Army football show as we prep for the bowl game against UConn. So grab yourself some eggnog, spike it a little bit so you can enjoy your evening. The semis are added in. And hey, we're heading and we'll be back right before the championship game. So we're going to take a couple weeks off to refresh, re-blue, and enjoy the holidays. But be on the lookout for Ask for Lax and other Army spring sports coverage. Oh, yeah. Guess what? We've got a whole bunch of other stuff that's going on. And we'll see you guys in about 20 minutes. But for the crew here at Ask for Football, College Football Roundtable, I'm Rob, the Angry Colonel, calling to you out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Icabesa calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut. And we'll see you guys in a couple weeks or in about 20 minutes if you are a member of the First Tee Club checking us out for the Army Football Show. Thanks. Thanks for joining us on the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/askforfootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind-the-scenes extra. Thanks for being a part of the Ask for Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.